Cabu Community Radio is proud to announce the opening of Convergence, an audio documentary and sonic artwork by our artist-in-residence, Tessie Word. The opening will be Friday, November 14th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Civilian Studios, 2210 North Lewis Avenue in Portland. Convergence examines the historical, environmental, and sociological ramifications of living in an imminent ecological disaster area, the tsunami zones of the Oregon coast near the mouth of the Columbia River. Through the use of phonographic recordings, radio transmissions, and original music, Convergence explores and interprets the cultural implications and the psychic terrain of daily life in the tsunami zone. Again, that's Convergence by KABU Artist-in-Residence Tessie Word, opening Friday, November 14th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Civilian Studios, 2210 North Lewis Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, November 13th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest, Zeev Horn, will take us through the intricacies of Iran, Iraq, and the West's troubled relationship with those nations, especially in the light of a recent deal with Russia and Iran and nukes. But first, and closer to home, and perhaps more importantly, because this is where we plant our feet, this is where we deal on a day-to-day basis with life's contingencies, one of which, of course, is the Portland Police, one of the most peculiar police bureaus in the country. We many efforts have been made to come up with oversight committees composed of citizens who are tasked with holding the police responsible for their actions. Even the feds stepped in to try to control the behavior, the excess of the Portland police. And despite claims that they've been trained many times, their seeming inability to cope with people who are under a great deal of stress and perhaps suffering mental challenges. These are exactly the people that the police ought to be taught to cope with. This is their job. The police and these people, the people who are forced by circumstances to live on the streets, are the people who are most familiar with the streets and the most familiar with one another. So it is we're really pleased to have Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch joining us today to take apart and take a look at recent efforts to, along with the City Council, to come up with a compliance officer, a community liaison. What we ended up with was somebody from Chicago. How'd that happen, Dan?
Good morning, Chris. Well, it's kind of a much more complicated story, but the Department of Justice came in and investigated the Portland Police for excessive use of force, and in 2012 issued findings that they did use excessive force, especially against people with mental health crises going on. And the city, seeing the writing on the wall, I guess, signed a settlement agreement with the Department of Justice that said they were going to change oversight and training and all these other things, but that was very unsatisfactory in how far it went to make those changes. And then after that, the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, that I'm actually on the steering committee of, but I'm still also primarily with a member of Portland Cop Watch, filed to be party to the lawsuit and sort of forced a few minor changes to some of the things that were going to happen, including there was supposed to be an annual hearing the judge ordered when he entered the settlements into the record at the end of August this year. There's supposed to be annual hearings that the city and all the other parties are supposed to come to talk about how well the implementation is going. The original idea was that it was just going to be the four parties, the city, the Portland Police Association, the AMA Coalition, and the Department of Justice. But the judge said he wants the monitor, for lack of a better term, the person who's named in the agreement, the compliance officer and community liaison you mentioned, which I'm going to call the COCL now to save time, is supposed to come into the court also and present the annual reports that that person is supposed to be putting together to the judge directly. And the city seemed very averse to the idea. They kind of fought the concept of these annual hearings from the beginning, and on October 22nd, they filed an appeal, or they announced that they were going to file an appeal to the judge's order, not questioning what they claim the narrow scope of what kind of questions are the judge going to ask at these hearings, but they're actually filing an appeal that says we don't think the judge has the authority to order us into the courtroom, sort of showing that they do not have any interest really in being held accountable for making the changes, even the inadequate changes that are listed in the agreement. So then in the midst of all this, they were also trying to hire the COCL, which had boiled down to three final candidates out of an original pool of only 12 who applied. The three final candidates were all white men, and the city had appointed a community advisory committee that looked at the three candidates, interviewed them one-on-one, and said, well, forget about the people from Chicago. We need somebody who's going to have their eyes and ears on the ground here on a daily basis. So you should pick one of the two people from Portland who applied. And the city council yesterday voted unanimously 4-0, because Saltzman was absent, to hire the people from Chicago.
See, that's what I absolutely don't understand this. I also feel that the bottom line is that none of this should be happening, that we need police officers on the street who live in the communities. And when we talk about community policing, that's what we really, really mean. And that the main criteria for being hired on to the police force in the first place is ability, a demonstrated ability to deal in a compassionate manner with people who are in crisis, than people who are most likely, after all, to be in contact with the police. The entire structure of the Bureau seems to me dangerously out of control. What would it take, in your opinion, and what would you like to see a primary, if you could have one, just perhaps one significant change accomplished that's testable, what would you want to see?
I don't think you can do it with one change, but I think that you know, what we have to keep doing as a community is pushing for the police to be held accountable across the board, no matter who, you know, whether the person is in a mental health crisis or not, whether a person has brown skin or not, whatever kind of person they encounter on the street, they should be dealing with them in a compassionate and nonviolent manner, and they shouldn't be suspecting that every person that they come up to is going to hurt them, which is pretty much how they're trained. And while it's good for a police officer to be prepared, because some people do try to hurt police officers, that, you know, I'll admit that, it doesn't mean that every person wants to hurt them. It's a very incredibly small minority of the people who want to hurt police officers. So they have to really change their attitude about that, I think. And to finish up on the Chicago discussion, they are going to have, as part of their team, a former Supreme Court Justice, Paul DeMunez, who's going to be their eyes and ears on the ground. But he told counsel yesterday he's only going to be working in Portland 3 days a week. My comment to city council was, well, when we created the Constitution, slaves were considered 3/5 of a person, and I guess we're going to have 3/5 of a compliance officer here in Portland, because that's how we
I guess that must be it. Thank you so much for that, Dan. Anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with, regarding their expectations of behavior on the part of Portland Police?
Well, I think always a big test of what the Portland Police do, in addition to what we talked about people of color and people with mental health crisis, is how they treat the protesters in our town. And sometime in the next few days, the grand jury decision is going to come out about the Michael Brown case. The AMA coalition has called for, and Copwatch is supporting, an emergency action the day after the grand jury announcement is made at 4 o'clock at the Justice Center at Southwest 3rd and Madison Streets. And we hope that the police will be wise enough to stay back, not come with their, you know, riot gear and try to intimidate everybody, but instead recognize the community is going to be probably, unfortunately, very upset, because it's the rumor is that there's it's probably not going to be an indictment in that case.
That's what we are hearing. Thanks so much for that, Dan. I so appreciate you coming on the show today. We'd like to invite you back to bring us updates on this. It's we live now in a society where people used to go to the police when they needed help. Now, that's probably the last thing people do. And in certain neighborhoods, people are advised don't call the police when you have, for example, family problems. That's the last thing you should do. We've come from a place of trust, a place of fear, and that needs to be rectified. Thanks again for that. Dan Handelsman with the Portland Copwatch and the Alberta Ministerial Alliance joining us today by phone. Thanks so much for that, Dan. We go now to Steve Horn with the DeSmog blog, because right now, there are movements all across, apart from the wars and the assorted militia attacking a militia. This is all across the Middle East. This is, of course, a situation that we have more or less created ourselves. The U.S. foreign policy, such as it is, has created conditions in the Middle East that encourage violence between various sectarian groups. And now, this, of course, we feel the reverberations of this in Crimea, and of course in areas where Vladimir Putin is exercising his might. Russia, of course, his might consists mainly of its leverage when it comes to energy. They can basically turn on the tap and turn it off whenever they like. Now, what has happened, though, is a turn of events which again shifts the power structure. Apparently, Putin has signed off on a deal to sell two new nuclear plants to Iran. This is something that the U.S. finds incredible, yet they shouldn't. This is a nation, after all, with the most extraordinary ability to spy on itself and spy on other nations. No, never in all of history has one nation had such enormous military might backed up by such extraordinary ability to survey its own citizens as well as foreign leaders. Just ask Angela Merkel about that, or for that matter, anyone, any head of state in the world can pretty much expect that the U.S. has taken a long, hard look at everything that they are up to. So why is it always such a big surprise to the U.S. when any of these things happen? Why is it that the U.S. seems completely incapable of understanding how the balance of power amongst sectarian groups in this part of the world changes the face of politics in that region? Right now, it looks very much like what we have on our hands, but we haven't, it's not really called it such, is in fact a third world war. The violence is spreading. All we need right now is drop a match on a tinderbox in Asia, and hey presto, it'll be there, delivered right to our door. So the other thing delivered right to our door, of course, is radioactivity from Fukushima, which we knew all along was heading towards us. So all of that said, here in Cascadia, it is more important than ever to keep our feet in the ground, to hold our police accountable for their actions, to prevent spraying pesticides in our forests and on our people and in the streams and the water that we drink. It's right here, and it really comes down to is the ecology of truth in Cascadia. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, November 13th, 2014. Rock Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, a special report from Guerrero, Mexico, on the kidnapping of dozens of students and student teachers and the massive street reaction to that kidnapping. Also, will the U.S. and Iran reach a nuclear agreement that ends the crippling U.S. sanctions against that country? And poets reading and speaking out in a benefit for Gaza after the latest Israeli massacre. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. But first, we turn our attention to